Any questions? Nice.
Good evening.
Yes.
Less is more.
When the riots and civil unrest went down about 4 years ago, you promised us federal funding to rebuild our community. What happened?
Well, what happened was that we all knew that was going to be big news for a while, so we all came down here, Bush, Clinton, Wilson, all of us, we got our pictures taken, told you what you wanted to hear, and we pretty much forgot about it.
Did he just say what I think he said?
Let's see where he's going with this.
We can't get insurance down here. We can't get health insurance, fire insurance, life insurance. Why haven't you come out for Senate Bill 2720?
Well, because you haven't really contributed any money to my campaign, have you? You got any idea how much these insurance companies come up with? They pretty much depend on me to get a bill like that and bottle it up in my committee during an election. And in that way, we can kill it when you're not looking.
Fred, when you say buy the book, what book would that be?
Are you saying the Democratic Party don't care about the African-American community?
Isn't that obvious? Hey, you got half of your kids out of work and the other half are in jail. Do you see any Democrat doing anything about it? Certainly not me. So what are you going to do, vote Republican? Come on. You're not going to vote Republican. Let's call a spade a spade. I mean, come on. You can have a billion man march if you don't put down that malt liquor and chicken wings and get behind somebody other than a running back who stabs his wife. You're never going to get rid of somebody like me.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Yes, yes. Glenn, the great Glenn from Philly might join us in hour number 4 to talk about short selling. Again, the hot book you need to have, Maddening Behavior, Some I Hear, A Lot I See, written by two sisters who travel to Africa. Tara Nichols and Nicole Shivers. We'll hear from them hour number 4. Yeah, this cologne is a little strong, the oils I have on. I may pass out before the show's over. This Blue Nile in particular. Whew. Speak to us, Chris.
Himself. They look like they know me. They drove away, but he didn't stay. He jumped in the cab and he paid his tab. But guess who he saw when he hit the block? It was the same cop car, the same two cops. They jumped out quick. They pulled the gun. They said, don't try to fight and don't try to run. Cooperate and we will be your friend. Non-cooperation will be your end. He jumped in the car and while they rode, they ran down the list of things he owed. They said, you owe us some money. You owe us some product. You could be right in the river tied up. He thought for a second and he said, what is this? You want me to pay you to stay in business? They said, that's right, or you go to prison. Cause nobody out there is really gonna listen to a hood. So he said, good, I'll pay you off for the whole neighborhood. Because cocaine business controls America. Ganja business controls America. KRS-One comes to start some hysteria. Illegal business controls America. Doesn't want him back. He sells it work. He sells in schools. He's not stupid. The cops are the fools. Cause everyone else seems to go to jail. But when it comes to Jack, the cops just fail. They can't arrest him. They cannot stop him. Cause even in jail, the bail unlocks him. So here is the deal. And here is the facts. If you ever wonder why they can't stop.
16th, 2008. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. So again, I'm looking for two Caucasian snipers, Steve Novak and J.J. Redick. I'd like to add them to my Philadelphia 76ers lineup. No, I did not watch the Vladimir Klitschko fight. I've seen one round on demand, but I can't wait. Man, let me tell y'all something. I am so excited to watch this Miguel Cotto Margarito fight. I'll wait to give my prediction, but man, that's going to be something. Miguel Cotto, Antonio Margarito in 2 weeks. Brother Vernon from Columbia, Maryland, he says, while it's on my mind, for the real lovers of hip hop, if you haven't done it already, go buy the new Nas album. The hottest in the land. Now, I'm hearing nothing but good things about this Nas album. I've heard 3 songs. Everybody do your homework. We will do Nas album review next week. Nas album review next week. But I want to tease you. Nas put this on his album, y'all. Listen up. I don't know anyone else who would do this. But Nas. Whew. This is hot. It's untitled on the album, but I have a title for this song. You all know what I'm about to do. For the Muslims that don't buy rap, you should be ashamed of yourself. You need to get down with this quick.
They did not have the power to stop Louis Farrakhan. They were trying to touch on and feed envy within the leadership. But as a general and a man that rose through the ranks through discipline, his presence inspired those men with the discipline he imposed on his own life.
This is on the Nas album called Untitled. I call it Louis Farrakhan. This is the only song I'm going to play today off the new Nas album. I am renaming this Louis Farrakhan. It is untitled. I wonder why. Speak to us, Nas.
No revolution ever gets old, or so I'm told. You're left full of bullet holes when you tell the people go free. Oh, it's a matter of days before they try to take me. I heard gunshots rang, his bullet got my name. I ain't see him take aim, I dreamt this day came. Cause I stood in the face of damnation. Satan spat at him, flat out disgraced him. He want my blood, why me? Why not the fake ones who deserve death? I take one, can stop me but can't stop a whole nation. The millions who feel you deceived them, they believe in reparation makes it even. So I'm deadly now because of one reason, they listening. In Budapest, Japan, China, and Switzerland, we getting it in, son. Another bullet passed by, missed me, wondering who plotting to get me. Alphabet boys still plotting against me to hush me up and stuff me in the pockets of history. You
they did not have
you thought I wasn't?
To stop Louis Farrakhan. They were trying to touch on and feed envy within the leadership. But as a general and a man that rose through the ranks through discipline, his presence inspired those men with the discipline he imposed on his own life.
I don't know who else can do a song with that as the chorus. Come on.
Whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
You're left full of bullet holes when you tell the people go free. Oh, it's a matter of days before they try to take me. I heard gunshots rang, his bullet got my name. I ain't see him take aim, I dreamt this day came. Cause I stood in the face of damnation. Satan spat at him, flat out disgraced him. He want my blood, why me? Why not the fake ones who deserve death? I take one, can stop me but can't stop a whole nation. The millions who feel you deceived them, they believe in reparation makes it even. So I'm deadly now because of one reason, they listening. In Budapest, Japan, China, and Switzerland, we getting it in, son. Another bullet passed by, missed me, wondering who plotting to get me. Alphabet boys still plotting against me to hush me up and stuff me in the pockets of history. You won't remember why they came to clip me. When time go by, you'll soon forget me. They say he was the king of bling, jewels, and Bentleys. Then they use one of my lines just to prove I'm guilty.
They did not have the power to stop Louis Farrakhan. They did not have the power to stop Louis Farrakhan. They did not have the power to stop Louis Farrakhan. They did not have the power to stop Louis Farrakhan. Farrakhan.
Some revolutionaries do live long. Am I one of them? Guess we'll know in due time. Everybody has rights, can I use mine? Can I rock shine? Can I have a girl that's too fine? Got a swell life, tell me will I lose mine? Every time I turn around, somebody new dying. Let's start living. A la carte escargot, Escobar, invest my millions. Mansion for the wife, the rest for the children. Knowing that they coming any time, but until then, I'm at loss till they shoot me. $1 million stones in my camouflage Gucci. Giving you this crack like Pookie. To question the system, be the resistance. No matter what color you wall, everybody niggas, you can stand by and watch and you can march on with us. Some revolutionaries get old or untold. You'll get left full of bullet holes when you tell the people go free. It's a matter of days before they try to take me. Some revolutionaries get old or untold. You get left full of bullet holes when you tell the people go free. It's just a matter of days before they try to take me.
Yeah. That's nice. Untitled off the new album. Now, did everyone get show prep? We heard about Youngberg's apology to black women. Here's the article in case you didn't see it. Youngberg and black women. Youngberg, known for his radio hits Sexy Lady and Sexy Can I, was caught talking sideways. MediaTakeout.com transcribed what the rapper said during a recent interview on a radio show where he said he doesn't like dark-skinned black women and called them dark butts. He went on to describe a pool test. I love the pool test. If you can jump in the pool exactly like you are and you don't come out looking better than you looked before going in the pool, then that's not a good look. Now that the whole world knows what he said, he's trying to apologize like Messy Jesse. Check out the video to see his apology. I hope he never sees another hit again. This is the type of ignorance that has women hating one another because of skin tone, hair texture, and ethnicity. This fool better not ever say another or see another hit again. Now, I didn't hear what Youngberg said, but here's his apology.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Youngberg. I want to address the recent statements on the internet and comments and things of that nature. First and foremost, I want to apologize to every woman across the world. I would never want to offend any woman of any race that, you know, because I love women so much, and you can just tell by the music that I make that women mean the world to me. My mother, she's a lovely dark-skinned lady, and I just want to really say from the bottom of my heart, anything that I said that may have offended anyone, that anybody can take out of context, I'm totally sorry for it, and I apologize from deep down the bottom of my heart. I hope I didn't offend any of my fans or anybody that got love for the whole YB. Thank you.
I don't know who the dark-skinned sisters are in our audience, but if they accept the Youngberg apology, I will accept it on your behalf for Black Coffee Nation. He definitely wouldn't like watching the news from Africa that I've been watching, some very beautiful dark-skinned black women delivering current events. Eve from Queens, who will join me next week to do a Nas album review, he says the song Fried Chicken on the news out, the new Nas album is a classic. E from Queens, the song Fried Chicken is a classic. Next hour, I'm going to get into this book, Maddening Behaviors, Some I Hear, A Lot I See, stories from Tara Nichols, Nicole Shivers, 11 Young Women Leave America to Find Adventure in Africa, Seeking Magic, Purpose, and Friendship, They Settle with Host Families in the Villages and Urban Centers of South Africa and Mozambique. While staying in the home of a mixed-race Cape Town family, Shaquan's perception of black solidarity is shaken to its core. Jaha, while surprising her lover on a trip, is shocked to find that the love and lover she thought were hers have drastically transformed. Instead of a carefree weekend in the resort of Sun City, Kano is confronted with the harsh legacy of the struggle against apartheid by a demure waitress in the resort's restaurant. A joyous wedding shower for a group of former women revolutionaries is too much to bear for Portia, pushing her to resort to desperate measures in order to prove her worth. That's a good one. I like that story. For these women and others, misunderstanding, grace, tragedy, and truth are revealed when they least expect it. Set in the 1990s, the stories of the women in Maddening Behaviors show the hilarity and tragedy that occur because of the foreign eyes, perceptions, and limitations. An eye that is often at odds with what is real and what is fantasy. So this is my book. I recommend it. A great picture of the different perceptions, viewpoints, cultural biases that affect the relationship between blacks in America and those on the other side of the Atlantic. Next hour, we'll go deeper into that book. Now, I don't want to scare anybody away. We will talk domestic politics. If you have an opinion of the Obama NAACP speech, if you watched my friends Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente win the Green Party nomination and give their speech on C-SPAN, you can let me know what you thought of that. I'm about 55% sure I may vote for Cynthia and Rosa. 30% I may vote for Obama, and 15% for Brother Bob Barr. Three black candidates running for president this year. Maurice from Philly says, "Peace," said, "Project Roach is a tough track on the new Nas album." Maurice from Philly, how do you feel about Elton Brand coming into the fold? If we can get two white three-point shooters in the person of Steve Novak and J.J. Redick, I think the Sixers can beat Boston. But we need two gunners, a small forward and a shooting guard, to get it done. Some of you are asking me, what is short selling? Let me read this definition to you. While most investors buy stocks they think will increase in value, others invest when they think a stock's price is going to drop, perhaps substantially. What they do is described as selling short. To sell short, you borrow shares you don't own from your broker, you order them sold and pocket the money. Then you wait for the price of the stock to drop. If it does, you buy the shares at the lower price, turn them over to your broker plus interest and commission, and keep the difference. For example, you might sell short 100 shares of a stock priced at $10 per share. When the price drops, you buy 100 shares at $7.50 a share and return them to your broker and keep the $2.50 a share difference minus the commission. Okay? So that's what you do. Glenn from Philly may join us to talk about this. I don't approve of this ban on short selling for other reasons. I think short sellers provide a valuable service that financial analysts and the bought off, compromised financial media don't. Dawu from Philly says he's rocking a cut this summer, Big Mike featuring Ice Cube. It's called Pressure. So I like the Obama NAACP speech. I don't know if you all agree or disagree, but I liked it. I should say I liked it. The media is just excerpting one portion of that speech. I'm tempted to play about 23 minutes of that speech right now, but I don't want to do that to you all. If you want to hear it, let me know. If you want to hear the last portion of the Obama speech, I got it ready for you. If you want to go there, I don't mind, because I don't know how many of you missed it, but I have it here if you're interested. Anyone see the article last week in the Wall Street Journal about the high cost of prisons in Phoenix, Arizona? The price that prisons rain on a community. Let me read you some statistics. The article's called "Communities Pay Price of High Prison Rate." Listen to this. In South Mountain, a district in South Phoenix, more than 3,800 residents are displaced, serving time in prison or the county jail. For every 100 adults, 6.1 are behind bars. That's more than five times the national average of 1.09 per 100. Arizona has the fastest growing prison population of the western states. Now listen to this. For blacks, it's even worse. Anybody see this? It's like a whole section of men missing. Men in between 17 and 35. You don't even see them in the barbershops in Phoenix anymore. They're in jail. Anybody in Phoenix want to send a comment in? I'm here for you. Got love for Arizona. something I want to play for you. I don't want you all to start crying, though. Not now. Let me take care of something else. Brother Vernon says the best track on Nas's new album is You Can't Stop Us Now. The Last Poets on Nas's album, if I correct. So anyway, one of the things that I saw over this holiday weekend or weeks off was the peace effort down in North Carolina. Put an article up on Black Coffee Channel and at blackelectorate.com. The leader of the Latin Kings, the almighty Latin Kings and Queens Nation in North Carolina, is calling for a truce, a peace treaty. Let me, if you missed it, here's the news report. I get the chills when I hear stuff like this. All my North Carolina representatives, listen to this in particular. This was the story as it was reported, I think June 30th and July 1st.
For all Bloods, Crips, MS-13, Sutrese, everybody out there that represents something, so put your weapons down and let's come to a table so we could talk peace.
That was the request North Carolina Latin Kings leader Jorge Cornell made during a news conference Monday. He wants gang leaders to get together for a discussion on how to end violence.
What I'm asking these leaders to do is, if you got one that's going to start trouble with the other, don't let those two, you know, let it get physical. And if it does, don't let it cause a war. Let's bring it to the attention of those leaders and let those leaders deal with their own.
Cornell was joined by church leaders, Pastor Nelson Johnson and Gregory Heaton, who gave their full support to the cause.
And so I want to commend Brother Jorge and the Latino Nation and all of those who have responded in the hope that this is merely a beginning and that together we can do a new thing.
Cornell says that he's already getting a good response from other gang leaders and hopes that today's message will encourage even more to come together.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, that we get some more responses and the more people that are willing to come to the table and some of these gangs, nations, and associations, still, you know, more, the bigger the better. That's where we go from here. The next step is to sit down.
And Heaton says they will open their doors so that next step can be taken.
I want them to know that there will be places where they can gather and meet. We believe that that's the way to go.
In Greensboro, Kira Mathis, News 14, Carolina.
I got to give that a standing ovation. So, King J, almighty Latin Kings of Queens Nation, calling for peace in North Carolina. So we put this story up, caught my eye, of course. And because the blackelectorate.com business and building community has an initiative with the street organizations and youth development in our alliance with Saving Ourselves in Newark. Did I tell you all I had lunch with Bishop about 3 weeks ago? President of Saving Ourselves? I think I did. Anyway. So I wanted to look more closely into this effort. So there's a brother who, when he heard about our work with Saving Ourselves, our alliance, last October, he shot me an email. He's based in North Carolina, and he's been waiting to get more involved in what we're trying to do with primarily with the Bloods and Crips up in New Jersey, but it's a national effort. So Saving Ourselves works with all of the street organizations and nations, and they have a lot of experience with the Latin Kings. So I shot a report of that story that you just heard to this brother down in North Carolina who's been faithful, vigilant, and patient. We had not even spoken. We had just done emails. His name is Brother Jeff. So Brother Jeff looked into this matter, made contact with the beloved community center in Greensboro, North Carolina. I did some things behind the scenes. He did some things. Brother Jeff was able to build with folks who are working with King J. Okay, that's part A of the story. Part B, it's my brother Terrence down in Greensboro. Very active. Those of you in Greensboro, North Carolina, you know who he is. Brother Jeff as well. Also was involved without even any prior discussion on my part, had been engaging the process, verified some things for us on the ground. So one thing led to another, and I'm pleased to say that BlackElectorate.com and the Black Coffee Channel and our initiative to work with the street organizations is going to support this effort in North Carolina. King J, Almighty Latin Kings and Queens Nation down in North Carolina, on a statewide and really a broader effort to bring peace. So when you deal with real people, things happen quickly. You don't have to wait for somebody to follow through. You don't have to remind somebody with multiple emails and phone calls. Brother Jeff, Brother Terrence, we worked so quickly that from the time that I sent the story to Brother Jeff on July, I believe, 5th. Damn it, I was on the phone with King J 2 days ago. So if King J's listening, any of the members of Almighty Latin Kings of Queens Nation, anywhere, Chicago, wherever you may be, West Coast, I give a big peace be unto you. King J and I had a wonderful conversation. I believe the brother is sincere. And so we're moving forward. We want to bring together, however appropriate for all parties involved, a massive peace community development effort. Latin Kings, MS-13, folks called the Mexican Mafia, Bloods, Crips, whoever. If you are an organization or a nation and you are for peace and development, we're willing to put our necks on the line. I'm willing to put my name and neck on the line personally to support whatever you're doing. So again, standing ovation to King J for the effort down in North Carolina. I'm going to play this news report one more time. If you all want to support this, send an email to me directly, Cedric@BlackCoffeeChannel.com. Cedric@BlackCoffeeChannel.com. And we'll take it from there. Listen up.
For all Bloods, Crips, MS-13, Sutrece, everybody out there that represents something. So put your weapons down and let's come to a table so we can talk peace.
That was the request North Carolina Latin Kings leader Jorge Cornell made during a news conference Monday. He wants gang leaders to get together for a discussion on how to end violence.
What I'm asking these leaders to do is, if you got one that's going to start trouble with the other, don't let those two, you know, let it get physical. And if it does, don't let it cause a war. Let's bring it to the attention of those leaders and let those leaders deal with their own.
Cornell was joined by church leaders, Pastor Nelson Johnson and Gregory Heaton, who gave their full support to the cause.
And so I want to commend Brother Jorge and the Latino Nation and all of those who have responded in the hope that this is merely a beginning and that together we can do a new thing.
Cornell says that he's already getting a good response from other gang leaders and hopes that today's message will encourage even more to come together.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, that we get some more responses and the more people that are willing to come to the table, and some of these gangs, nations, and associations, still, you know, more, the bigger the better. That's where we go from here. The next step is to sit down.
And Heaton says they will open their doors so that next step can be taken.
I want them to know that there will be places where they can gather and meet. We believe that that's the way to go.
In Greensboro, Kira Mathis, News 14, Carolina.
Again, we're supporting this. I've spoken to King J personally. If you all are serious, I don't want people that are fascinated by gang culture. You all are the worst. I don't want people around me that, you know, can't look a gang or street organization member in the eye. You caught up, you're fascinated, and have a groupie-like mentality. No. These are our brothers and sisters. They just like you and me. Some of them might have 20-inch biceps. Don't get it twisted, but if you are serious about promoting peace anywhere in the United States of America, I would like to work with you. Saving ourselves is behind this. So let's get together. Cedric@BlackCoffeeChannel.com if you are concerned forming a united front. I am sticking my neck on the line. MS-13, Latin Kings, Bloods, Crips, etc. Let's build our communities and not destroy them. I want to work with you. So, you know, I get chills when I hear something like that. I believe that is the Lord's work. We're talking about Zimbabwe, so let me show you how amped I am.
Like I keep saying, that bass is dope. I keep telling y'all, mom.
It's 1988 up in here, and I'm Cool DJ Red Alert masquerading as Cedric Muhammad. This song right here is really unworthy of a so-called American Negro. So I dedicate this song to Africa and her diaspora outside of America, with the exception of New York State, where this song was made. KRS-One and Just Ice, the illest collaboration, three songs. If you agree with me, I'm just playing. This is for the whole diaspora. Cedric Muhammad, Black Coffee Program. Cameron, this is for you, brother.
This is KRS-One in full effect. BDB posse rule every time. Sin and sackle.
All my Haitian and Jamaican representatives, this is for you.
Just push it off, sin. Because KRS-One is teach. And we come right now to reach out.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Nose break. The notorious Just Ice has just gunned down one man up in the Bronx. News later at 11 o'clock. Sin. Suicide, it's a suicide. But whatever. Suicide, it's a suicide. Suicide, it's a suicide. But whatever. Suicide, it's a suicide. Boogie Down Productions always recite rhymes. The ones that chase us be like two steps behind. Cause we write the records that be rocking every time. Like poetry, super ho, and listen to my nine. I don't eat flesh, no type of meat of any kind. But you eat meat, better known as also swine. But some eat swine, better known as also pork. They stab it and they stab it till they get it on their fork. The first one to say there's nothing wrong with a pig. But haven't you seen the way this animal live? Why I tell you it's suicide, it's a suicide. What do I buy? Suicide, it's suicide.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Move your body, move your body. Just as KRS up in the vicinity. I don't want to be down with no sucker. Only for lyrics rotten like the gutter. Meaning pop the product who can chop it like champion. Me bring to KRS so we will get the job done. The ears upon the speaker standing tall and ready. I jump on the dance floor looking sweet and sexy. Just up on the mic standing tall and proud. The girls that listen to me talking strong and loud. Coming from Manhattan in the uptown Bronx. Brooklyn upon the strip, know what they're talking about. You move your body, you move your body. Just a KRS, a KRS, a KRS, a KRS. You move your body, because a KRS, when I'm down with big.
I'm officially standing up right now. If you are having a brain hemorrhage right now because you haven't heard this in so long, send me a comment.
Nothing new, nothing new. Them not saying nothing new, nothing new, nothing new. Them not saying nothing new. They run, they run, they run, they run, they run their lyrics through. But when they finish rhyming, you have not heard nothing new. Said this is dedicated to the ones that run their rhyme. Say time after time after time after time. I know what you will say before you jump up on the stage. But make sure you don't say dee 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 da dee 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 day. Said then we'll have to look for you and beat you all up. So when you see me in your sheets, keep your mouth shut. Nothing new, nothing new. Them not saying nothing new, nothing new, nothing new. Them not saying nothing new.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
To keep right on, I get the dust, I get the lights, I was King Kong. The people in the booth for them are looking afraid. I wanna dance for the woman, dance and sway. They listen to the closest of the words I say. The one Just Ice has to work every day. Support my pity and the bills I pay. So hold up your own, let's just start to express. My lyrics are serious, my lyrics are my no-bex. I survive myself, have to pass no tests. Bullet from a gun, coming hard in the wreck. So lick out, lick out, lick out, lick out. And I can tell you, just jump on my bar. Rock a muffin in a set.
session, just a skank from a yard. With your classes, six in the big old chain, your big brother large. Selling all the fellas, all the money, from up to your grandma. That record's a super shop and fill you up with the slugs. Your bees, my bees, better be your best mama. And if you want to do, just check from abroad. Just ice up on the mic, looking big and steady. KRS a mic, looking slick and ready. Dipping on the people, looking tall and slick. Just ice and you know I'm no victim. I'm a notorious, you know I'm from Slicker.
Just ice, you know you're large boy. You definitely rule the dance off style. Seen, Karis one is here without a doubt. Just ice is one, and Karis one is another. So anyone of y'all think we're down on the same label, you got to come correct.
So 100 years after the founding of the NAACP, I will stand up for you the same way that earlier generations of Americans stood up for me, by fighting to ensure that every single one of us has the chance to make it if we try. That's what the American dream is all about. What does that mean? What does the American dream mean? It means removing the barriers of prejudice and misunderstanding that still exist in America. It means fighting to eliminate discrimination from every corner of our country. It means changing hearts and changing minds and making sure that every American is treated equally under the law. That's a definition of social justice, but from the start, the NAACP understood that social justice alone is not enough. As Dr. King once said, the inseparable twin of racial justice is economic justice. And that's why Dr. King went to Memphis in his final days to stand with striking sanitation workers. That's why the march that Roy Wilkins helped to lead 45 years ago this summer wasn't just named the March on Washington. It wasn't just named the March on Washington for freedom. It was named the March on Washington for jobs and freedom, for jobs and justice. What Dr. King and Roy Wilkins understood is that it matters little if you have the right to sit at the front of the bus if you can't afford the bus fare. It doesn't matter if you have the right to sit at the lunch counter if you can't afford the lunch. What they understood is that so long as Americans are denied the decent wages and good benefits and fair treatment and opportunity that they deserve, and the dream for which so many gave so much will remain out of reach. And that to live up to our founding promise of equality for all, we have to make sure that opportunity is open to all. That's what I've been fighting to do throughout my over 20 years in public service. That's why I fought in the Senate to end tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas and give those tax breaks to companies that create good jobs right here in the United States of America, right here in Cincinnati, right here in Ohio. That's why I brought Democrats and Republicans together in Illinois to put $100 million in tax cuts, not into the pockets of the wealthy who didn't need them and weren't even asking for them, but into the pockets of hardworking families. And why I fought to expand health care to 150,000 children and parents, and to end the outrage of black women making just 62 cents for every dollar that many of their male co-workers make. That is not just, that is not right. And that's why we changed it in Illinois, and that's why we have to change it all across the nation. And that's why I moved to Chicago after college. As some of you know, I turned down more lucrative jobs because I was inspired by that civil rights movement. I was inspired by Julian Bond, John Lewis, and Dr. King, and Diane Nash. And I wanted to do my part in the ongoing battle for opportunity in this country. So I went to work for a group of churches to help turn around neighborhoods that were devastated when the local steel plants closed. And I reached out to community leaders, black, brown, and white. And together we gave job training to the jobless and set up after-school programs to keep our young people off the streets. And block by block, we helped turn those neighborhoods around. So I've been working my entire adult life to help build an America where social justice is being served and economic justice is being served. An America where we all have an equal chance to make it if we try. That's the America I believe in, and that's the America that you believe in. That's the America that the NAACP has been fighting for over these past 99 years. And that's the America we have to keep marching towards today, because our work is not over. Just electing me president doesn't mean our work is over. We've got more work to do. When so many of our nation's schools are failing, especially those in our poorest rural and urban communities, denying millions of young Americans the chance to fulfill their potential and live out their dreams, then we have more work to do. When CEOs are making more in 10 minutes than the average workers earn in a year, and millions of families are losing their homes due to predatory, unscrupulous lending and checked neither by a sense of corporate ethics or a vigilant government, when the dream of entering the middle class and staying there is fading for young people in our community, then we have more work to do. When any human being is denied a life of dignity and respect, no matter whether they live in Anacostia or Appalachia or in a village in Africa, when people are trapped in extreme poverty we know how to curb or are suffering from diseases that we know how to prevent, when they're going without the medicines that they so desperately need, then we have more work to do. That's what this election's about. It's about the responsibilities we all share for the future we hold in common. It's about each and every one of us doing our part to build that more perfect union. It's about the responsibilities that corporate America has, responsibilities that start with ending a culture on Wall Street that says what's good for me is good enough, that puts their bottom line ahead of what's right for America. Because what we've learned in such a dramatic way in recent months is that the pain in our economy trickles up. Wall Street can't thrive so long as Main Street is struggling. And America is better off when the well-being of American business and the American people are aligned. Our CEOs have to recognize they have a responsibility not just to grow their profit margins, but to be fair to their workers and honest to their shareholders and to help strengthen our economy as a whole. That's how we'll ensure that economic justice is being served, and that's what this election is all about. It's about the responsibilities that Washington has, responsibilities that start with restoring fairness to our economy by making sure that the playing field isn't tilted to benefit the special interests at the expense of ordinary Americans, and that we're rewarding not just wealth, but the work and workers who created it. That's why I'll offer a middle-class tax cut so we can lift up hardworking families and give relief to struggling homeowners, so we can end our housing crisis and keep people in their homes and provide training to young people to work in the jobs of the future and invest in our infrastructure so we can create millions of new jobs. If we can spend $10 billion in Iraq every single month, we can spend some of that money right here rebuilding the United States of America. And that's why I'll end the outrage of 1 in 5 African Americans going without the health care they deserve. We are going to guarantee health care for anyone who needs it, make it affordable for anyone who wants it, ensure that the quality of your health care does not depend on the color of your skin or where you live. And we are not going to wait 20 years from now to do it or 10 years from now to do it. We're going to do it by the end of my first term as President of the United States of America. Here's what else we're going to do. We'll make sure every child in this country gets a world-class education from the day they're born till the day they graduate from college. Now, I understand that Senator McCain's going to be coming here in a couple of days and is going to talk about education. I'm glad he's going to, because this has to be a bipartisan effort. Not just Democrats, but Republicans need to recognize that too many of our young people are falling behind. Now, the fact is, though, what Senator McCain's offering amounts to too much of the same old tired rhetoric about vouchers. And well, I believe we need to move beyond the same debate we've been having for the past 30 years when we haven't got anything done. We need to fix and improve our public schools, not throw our hands up and walk away from them. We need to uphold the ideal of public education, but we also need to reform it. We also need to reform it. We've got to reform No Child Left Behind, which left the money behind, but we also have to introduce a comprehensive strategy to recruit an army of new quality teachers to our communities and to pay them more money and to give them more support and expect more from our schools. We'll invest in early childhood education programs so that our children don't begin the race of life behind the starting line. And we'll offer $4,000 tuition credits to make college affordable for any young person who wants to go and is willing to put some time in on community service or national service, joining the Peace Corps, teaching in an underserved school, working in an underserved hospital. We'll invest in you. You'll invest in America. Together, we're going to march this country forward. That's what we have in store. That's what this election's all about. Because, as the NAACP knows better than anybody, the fight for social justice and economic justice begins in the classroom. It doesn't end there, though. We have to fight for all those young men and young women standing on street corners with little hope for the future beside ending up in jail or in the funeral home. We have to break the cycle of poverty and violence that's gripping too many neighborhoods in this country. That's why I'll expand the earned income tax credit so that if you work, you should not be poor. That's why I'll end the Bush policy of taking cops off the street at the moment they're needed most, because we need to give local law enforcement the support they need. That's why we'll provide job training for ex-offenders, because we need to make sure that they don't return to a life of crime and get wise and smart when dealing with crime. That's why I'll build on the success of the Harlem Children's Zone in New York and launch an all-hands-on-deck effort to end poverty in this country. Because that's how we'll put that dream that Dr. King and Roy Wilkins fought for within the reach of the next generation of children. And if people tell you we can't afford to invest in education or health care or fighting poverty, you just remind them of all the money we've been spending on tax cuts for folks who didn't need them, on that war in Iraq. If we can spend as much money as we've spent in Iraq, it will be over $1 trillion. Imagine what we could have done with $1 trillion. If we can spend that money there, we can spend some of that money right here and in big cities and small towns in every corner of this country, rebuilding our infrastructure, putting people back to work, keeping people in their homes, giving them health care, sending young people to school. So we've got to demand more responsibility from Washington. We've got to push aside those special interests and let the voices of the American people ring out. We got to demand more responsibility from Wall Street. But you know what? We also have to demand more from ourselves. Now, I know there's some who've been saying I've been too tough talking about responsibility. NAACP, I'm here to report. I'm not going to stop talking about it. Because as much as I'm out there fighting to make sure government's doing its job and the marketplace is doing its job and we're passing laws to bring more investment and more education and more infrastructure into our communities and putting our young people back to work, no matter how much money we invest in our communities, how many 10-point plans we propose, how many government programs we launch, none of it will make a difference, at least not enough of a difference, if we also, at the same time, don't seize more responsibility in our own lives. Dr. King understood this. Dr. King talked about it's not an either-or proposition. It's a both-and proposition. We need societal responsibility and we need individual responsibility. We need politicians doing what they're supposed to do and CEOs doing what they're supposed to do, and we need parents doing what they're supposed to do. That's how we'll truly honor those who came before us. I know that Thurgood Marshall did not argue Brown versus Board of Education so that some of us could just stop doing our jobs as parents. That wasn't the deal. I know that 9 little children didn't walk through a schoolhouse door in Little Rock so we could stand by and let our children drop out of school and turn to gangs for the support they're not getting elsewhere in the community. That's not the freedom that we fought to achieve. That's not the America that our leadership sought to build. That's not the dream they had for our children. So if we're serious about reclaiming that dream, we have to do more in our own lives. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Because by the way, when we are taking care of our own stuff, then a lot of other folks are going to be interested in joining up and working with us to take care of America's stuff. We can lead by example as we did during the Civil Rights Movement. Because the problems that plague our communities, they're not unique to us. We just have it a little worse. But they're not unique to us. They're providing guidance for our children, turning off the TV set, putting away the video games, attending those parent-teacher conferences, helping our children with their homework, setting a good example. That's what everybody's got to do if we're going to be moving this country forward. Teaching our daughters to never allow images on television to tell them what they're worth. Teaching our sons to treat women with respect and to realize responsibility does not end at conception. That what makes them a man is not the ability to have a child, but to raise one. That's a message we need to send. Being good neighbors and good citizens who are willing to volunteer in our communities to help our synagogues and our churches, our mosques, our community centers, feed the hungry and care for the elderly. We have to do our part to lift up this country. That's where change begins. And after all, that's the true genius of America. Not that America is perfect, but that America will be perfect. Not that we are perfect, that we can make ourselves more perfect, that brick by brick, callous hand by callous hand, people who love this country can change it. That's our most enduring responsibility, the responsibility to future generations. We have to change this country for them. On Youth Night, let's remind ourselves of our intergenerational responsibilities. Our young people, they're waiting. They're looking for leadership. They're looking for guidance. We have to teach them. We have to teach them right from wrong. We have to leave them a planet that's cleaner, a nation that's safer, a world that's more equal and more just. I'm grateful to all of you for all that you've done. I'm grateful for many of you in your own capacity and not as NAACP, everything you've done for my campaign. Just helping you out there, Joe. But I want to remind you, we've got more work to do. We cannot rest. We cannot rest. And I know that if you put your shoulder to the wheel of history and take up the cause of perfecting our union just as earlier generations of Americans did before you, if you take up the fight for opportunity and equality and prosperity for all, if you march with me and fight with me and get your friends registered to vote, if you stand with me this fall, if you do not decide to sit it out, but you decide that this is our moment, this is our time, 100 years after the NAACP is founded, that we are going to lead this nation into a more unified, more prosperous future, then not only will we help close the responsibility deficit in this country, not only will we help achieve social justice and economic justice for all, but I'll come back to you next year on that anniversary, and I will stand before you as President of the United States of America. And at that moment, you and I will truly know that a new day has come in this country we love. Thank you, NAACP. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
What do you think? Senator Barack Obama's speech to the NAACP 2 nights ago. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I also like a statement Senator Obama has given explaining his view in response to the accusations that he is a Muslim. I'll try to read that next hour. MySpace.com/MADDENINGBEHAVIORS Maddening Behaviors. I'm going to talk to one of the authors of this incredible book about 11 young women who leave America to find adventure in Africa. I don't know how they did it. In 109 pages, they tell the story of the number one problem in the relationship between blacks in the diaspora and blacks in the continent. We're headed into hour number 4.
Blackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.